This episode of Cider Chat is sponsored by the 3rd Annual New York International Cider Competition, where the judges are retail trade buyers who evaluate commercial ciders based upon category and price point. Submission forms for the February 9th, 2020 competition held in New York City can be found online at nyicidercompetition.com.
Hi, this is Olivia Mackey.
And I'm Mike Reese.
Of Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, located in the Rock Ridge neighborhood of beautiful Oakland, California.
And you are listening to Cider Chats.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am both the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week's feature chat on episode 207 is a conversation with the owners of Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, based in Oakland, California. There'll be more on that chat coming up, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. This is the second episode of the new year, 2020. So if you're a regular listener of Cider Chat, welcome back. And if you're new to this cider podcast, well, welcome aboard the cider ride out and about into Ciderville. There is just an amazing scene happening worldwide, and it's all about good libations, good food, orchards, amazing people, and the best qualities of life. That is my experience, and I hope to bring that to you. And we got another episode all on that this week, bringing it to you each week and every week moving forward. Before we get into all that, though, I'm going to take a podcast moment of silence and send our prayers and thoughts to Australia. If you haven't heard, you should know. And if you're going to be hearing this years from now when you're listening to Cider Chat and put on this episode, know that there has been a horrific fire scene happening in that country since the tail end of 2019, and it's really been hard to witness from afar and just feeling hopeless. So at times of hopelessness, I find the best thing to do is to just bring together a bit of collective consciousness. So that's what we're going to do. If you like, you just groove on the music, but if you want to bring it a little step forward, just send your thoughts and hope that ease may grace those who are suffering, and of course, that the fires end soon. To Australia. Thanks for that, Ciderville. Thanks for being with me. I never know what's going to kind of fly while I'm in my little production room here with the Talking Palms, and they're kind of over in the corner, not looking so good right now. But, you know, we're sad. And the beautiful thing about Cider Chat for me and knowing all of you out there are coming in each week and being part of it is that there's a lot of power through our collective good, and there is so much good going on. So let's get to some news that actually happened over the course of the new year. On December 31st, the United States Cider... I screwed it up because it's such a darn name that it's so long that they change it. The United States Association of Cider Makers is now the American Cider Association, which is so much easier to say. And that happened at the turn of the new year. So you're going to see some new logo coming out. It's already out, actually, and this announcement's already out. But if you didn't know that, that's pretty neat. And it's just a little symbol to me of honing it down and making things simpler and more accessible. And that's really important for those of us who are super geeks over cider, full in on it, know all the little jargon, and can kind of jump a couple steps ahead of the line, to take a step back and to bring along those who are trying to catch up. And that's what I try to do on the podcast. I know if you're a commercial maker or in the cider trade, it's a good reminder for all of us to keep on doing that, to keep it simple and accessible at so many levels. So a big tip of the hat to the American Cider Association, who will have their annual trade conference coming up at the end of this here month. And it's in Oakland, California. In fact, we're going to be having a Going to CiderCon tip episode right before CiderCon, where we're all like on our way out there, and you could download it and listen to it while you're flying in from all parts all over the world. I'll be looking forward to seeing Lee Reeve of Insider Japan coming in from Japan. That's kind of redundant, from Insider Japan coming in from Japan, but I don't know, he could have had an office somewhere in New York City, who knows? And the guest of honor at this year's CiderCon is Irish Cider Makers. And that's going to be really exciting to have that piece, because that's an area of the world that there's not too much focus on. We don't hear too much going on, but there's some really nice cider there. In fact, we did have an episode with Kilhora Cider Makers, and I'll put a link in the show notes to that one. That was so much fun. Oh, really good time with that episode, and very, very tasty cider from them. They have award-winning cider at Kilhora. I'm not sure if they're going to be at CiderCon. I'll have to find out that piece, but there is going to be a bevy of Irish cider makers. So we'll be getting to that as we move forward, talking about that. Oh, and by the way, I understand that the hotel has filled up to capacity and is sold out at CiderCon. So that's some big news there, showing their future success. And this is going to be another banner year, the 10th year for the annual American Cider Association trade conference called CiderCon. All right, so that's CiderCon, that's American Cider Association, and the other big news coming up is there is the first French ever cider festival happening a week after CiderCon takes place. It's going to be on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of February in Normandy. They have 50 cider producers, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be hanging out, recording what I can and just taking it in as I'm making plans for the next French cider tour that I'll be offering. So do stay tuned for that. If that is something that would wet your whistle and you'd like to do some sightseeing and a gourmand experience in Normandy, Brittany, send me an email now to ria@ciderchat.com. I just love the French products, absolutely delicious, and it's really informed me on so many other ciders that I taste. And also apple brandy. Having had Calvados in France, both the Pédoge style, which is all with just cider made from apples, versus the Domfronté region, which has a certain percentage, a primary percentage of pears in that Calvados. So that has just blown my mind and has really upped my palate. So now when I'm tasting American apple brandy products, it's helped me a lot to kind of delve in there. And, you know, you have to taste a lot. And the best way to do that is to be on site doing that. Speaking of which, one of the best apple brandies that I've had most recently is from Flag Hill Cider in Vermont. It's exquisite. It's an exquisite apple brandy. Just recently kind of cracked open a bottle and I was, wow, I had to pour another glass of it. It was just really, really good. And it's hard to get figures, right? I guess you just have to come on the New England Cider Tour next fall during Cider Days. There's some good stuff happening, right? But let's stick to the first quarter. So that's all going on. We got CiderCon, we have Cider Expo, and we have the New York International Cider Competition taking place on February 9th, 2020 in New York City. And the time is really ticking to get your submissions into that cider competition and get some feedback. And do let me know if you're getting, you know, feedback that is adequate or you want more, because I'll pass that along to the competition director, and that's Adam Levy. I expect, though, considering who Adam is, and he was very selective of his cider judges, that you're getting good information, which I think would serve you well, especially if you're a commercial maker making that decision whether to up your ante and start trying to look for distribution to put it out more on the shelves. So three big events just happening, and we haven't even hit March. So let's keep it there for now. Take another little pause here. I'll be right back with some more good cheer just for you. Sometimes when I'm doing the podcast, I have to go back and check emails and see if I missed out on anything. Suffice to say, I get a lot of emails coming in and they do sometimes slip through the cracks. So I apologize if I miss mentioning you or getting back to you. It's not my intention to ever do that. And one very nice email came in actually from a UK cider maker, and that would be Tom Oliver of Oliver's Cider and Perry Company based in Herefordshire, that beautiful region of West Country in England. And Tom sent this in, the tail end of November, and he wrote, "I take my hat off to you, as with all the best cider apples, Cider Chat keeps getting better with time." That was just so sweet to hear from Tom. I'm a big fan of his, and it's mutual attractions, right, in Ciderville, which is a beautiful thing. And I also really thank Tom for a very generous donation to Cider Chat. Those types of moments in time where I'm connecting with you via an email, with professional makers, non-professional makers, just people who just enjoy the podcast, means the world to me. And of course, there are a number of people who are regular patrons of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page. I haven't had any new signups for quite a while. So if you're thinking that 2020 might be the year that you'd like to get in on that and help keep this podcast on the air, please go to the Cider Chat Patreon page. That's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And there's also commercial makers and people in the cider trade who have been supporting Cider Chat. So allow me to thank once again John Edwards at NMR Process Analytics. His business actually offers cider analysis work, and he is based in Connecticut. I'll have all the links to all these folks in the show notes for this year, episode 207. Also, Ramborn Cider Company based in Luxembourg. I know that Ramborn is going to be at CiderCon, and they're also going to be at the Cider Expo in France. So that's a double time with Ramborn. Very excited about that. Of course, I mentioned Insider Japan is also a supporter of this here podcast, and that's the only bilingual cider magazine coming out in Japan. A wonderful, wonderful resource there. And of course, Ross Cider and Perry Company based in Ross on Wye in the UK. There's also Eden Specialty Ciders, Original Sin, and James Creek Cider. Those folks and those makers are all helping to keep this podcast on the air. So again, if that is part of your mission too, to keep cider going up around the world, please do consider becoming a patron of Cider Chat, or you could always make a one-time donation too. Go to ciderchat.com. It's time now for our featured conversation with the owners of Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop. We're going to begin by speaking on the neighborhood surrounding the Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, how accessible it is to get to if you are in the area for, let's say, CiderCon in 2020. But of course, there's so many reasons to go to California, whether you're landing in San Francisco or Oakland or the surrounding area. This will give you some good info on how to make your way there. And also a little bit about what they have on offering and on tap. And then at the very end, I'll give you some more info of what to expect at CiderCon during some of the extra events that they'll be holding. So let's now grab a glass and join this chat with Olivia Mackey and Mike Reese of the Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, based in the Rock Ridge area of Oakland, California.
You get a lot of foot traffic coming through here.
Yeah, a lot of foot traffic. And that's part of the reason why we chose this location, is we wanted to be in a pretty established neighborhood where there was already a lot of stuff going on, and we just like happened to be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. And so you have this cider bar. The full name is Redfield Cider Bar
and Bottle Shop.
And Bottle Shop. So that's kind of like you're doing a couple different things there. Why did you define it? Why did you add the Bottle Shop on there? Was that just to let people know that you could grab and go?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that our license is set up is you can drink on-premise, you can drink here with us. We have a lot of different options of cider and beer on tap, but we also have a pretty substantial cider bottle collection of stuff that you can drink here or take to go.
And how many taps do you have?
We got 16 taps. Right now, 11 of them are cider and 5 of them are beer, and that's kind of more or less the balance that we've kept since we've opened. Yeah, and then we also offer some ciders by the glass out of bottles, too, because it allows us to kind of expand our offerings with producers that maybe don't keg. Either they don't have the facilities to do so, or they don't send them to California or whatever. It just allows us to kind of feature some cider producers that otherwise we wouldn't be able to pour if we stuck to kegs only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have that. Do you serve any wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We have wine available.
Let me just say, though. Are you describing cider as wine?
We have cider available by the glass, and we also have wine, as you might think of it, made with grapes instead of apples.
We're going to stay out of the cider as wine.
Oh, no, come on. I want to go right into it, man. How do you describe cider to people when they come in? Do you get folks coming in saying, oh, cool, cider? What is it? Or is there,
absolutely. Every day we have someone come in and ask us, what is cider? What is this place? And what are you all about? And
so is there alcohol in all this stuff?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I love having those conversations. And for me, it's almost like a privilege to be able to have someone's first cider experience be with us and be able to sort of curate that and have them taste different things. And we do flights here, and those are really popular. So smaller pours of a couple of different ciders to be able to taste a range of what we have and figure out exactly what they like.
Yeah. So what is your like short answer for what is cider?
Well, we do actually rely regularly on, you know, people's understanding of the winemaking process to describe cider, just saying, you know, just as you would make wine with grapes, you make cider with apples and perry with pears. You just have to kind of crush up the fruit before you press. And that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we also kind of present the cider in a way that allows people to make their own decisions about how they choose to consume it, whether it's, you know, in a more wine-like fashion, in a more beer-like fashion, or just, you know, entirely its own thing. We try not to influence people too heavily in one direction or another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when speaking about cider, we'll pull terminology from beer and wine and spirits about how, you know, how does this smell to you? How does this taste? What's the mouth feel like? And, you know, I think there's so many great terms that we can use and to be able to get people in their comfort zone talking about something that they've never really talked about before.
Mm-hmm. So what is your primary, like, audience coming in then? Is it that full range of people who are like newbies to cider, or are you getting the cider geeks who are like traveling around on the mission, and like what's the percentage of those folks?
Ooh, it's all over the board. I wish I could tell you we have like this is our demographic because it'd be easier to cater to them, but it's kind of all over the place. So we definitely have cider geeks who come in who know a ton about cider and are really excited about the, you know, 150 bottles that we have here from all over the world, and the exciting things that we have rotating on tap because the tap list is constantly changing. And we also just have people in the neighborhood who like to come in because they think it's a cool bar and, you know, maybe they'll come in and drink a beer or they'll try cider every third time, something like that. And then we have people who are really new to it, but excited about drinking cider. You know, maybe they used to drink beer all the time and now they're gluten-free, or they were looking something. They like wine, but they wanted something a little more low ABV. Mm-hmm. So we cater to a really wide audience, men, women, you know, old, young. It's kind of all over the board right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when Dana over at Crooked City opened up right around the same time we did, so there was kind of a big press cycle about the local cider scene here. So we got a lot of people that were curious about cider and, you know, what was going on, why are all these new places popping up?
Yeah.
So we've definitely had a lot of new drinkers in from that kind of press cycle, and that's been great. And those people do a lot of flights, like Liv was saying, you know, it kind of allows people to try a bunch of things and get a sense of everything that's out there.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But yeah, we also have just like great regulars. Like we mentioned that this is a place where people like to hang out and go to bars and restaurants, but it is also a residential neighborhood. And there's a lot of people that live here. So we get a lot of people from the neighborhood just like to pop in. And
so fun.
Yeah. So business is booming.
Yeah, it's going all right.
Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
And your hours are?
So we are open daily. On the weekends, it's pretty wide. We're pretty much open from noon until midnight on Friday and Saturday. And noon until 11 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then during the week, it's a little bit shorter. We're going to be opening at 2 and closing at 10.
All right. Mm-hmm. And food here?
We're doing a lot of like sandwiches,
cheese and charcuterie boards.
Yeah. We offer something called Cuckoo, which is kind of a cool specialty, kind of unusual thing for us to have, but it's we teamed up with some friends that run a company called Oina Natural Foods. That make these things called cuckoos, which are they're a Persian dish. It's kind of sort of similar to a frittata, but it has more vegetables.
Just packed it's with not, herbs and vegetables. Yeah. It's gluten-free. It's bound together with organic eggs and really delicious. And it's this husband and wife team from northern Iran, and they graduated through the La Cocina Project, which is this incredible nonprofit in San Francisco that's an incubator kitchen.
Perfect.
And it's delicious. It's a great gluten-free option because so many people come in and they're looking for that. And we love supporting local entrepreneurs. So
how's Cuckoo spelled?
K-U-K-U.
All right, with K, not a C. Okay, I love that. And so you have food, you're open every day. And I want to like hear, how long have you been involved in cider?
A while. Not in like a real professional sense. Well, Mike has much longer than I have. But I got introduced to cider through Mike probably like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer now. And I, at that point, you know, didn't really have an understanding of what the beverage was. And he started pouring me cider. We drank a lot of like Tilted Shed up in Sonoma County early on. And just like, what is this? This is delicious. And then it all kind of went downhill or uphill from there, depending on how you look at it.
Sounds uphill to me.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a little bit of the you know, the entrepreneur. It's like a lot of work doing this piece and being insider and seeking it out. It takes a lot of tenacity and staying power.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, let's talk about your background then.
Yeah, I've kind of bounced all around the alcohol industry since I graduated from college, but I actually started working out in sales for a brewery, a local brewery, and then I ended up managing a really beer-focused restaurant in San Francisco, two restaurants actually, the Monk's Kettle and then the Abbott Cellar, which doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, this is now 2012, 2013, somewhere around there. And people were starting to come in and ask about cider. And, you know, we took the beer really seriously there, but I didn't know anything about the cider world. And so I started kind of like looking into what local producers were out there and, you know, what we had available to us, and did make fast friends with Ellen and Scott at Tilted Shed. And they were, you know, really influential on, you know, teaching us a lot about cider and about cider fruit and about what we should be reading, what we should be tasting. And
now, how did you meet Ellen and Scott?
I reached out to them, or they reached out to me, when we started to look for, you know, interesting cider options for Monks and Abbots.
Well, 2012, 2013 was in my span of cider, that was just the early stages of on the national scene where people were starting to pay attention, really, really early.
And very early for California. Because California, I feel like, has been like a little bit behind like the Northeast in their understanding of cider and awareness of cider. And so,
yeah, there certainly were producers around in California, quite a few, but the amount and quality of producers is just like skyrocketing.
I was thinking more consumer awareness.
Oh, yeah. That too.
I mean, California is like one of the top, like number of cider makers now in the country. It's just like popping. Not to mention the history in California is insanely amazing in regards to apple. So it's a kind of a little bit of an unknown factor. Everybody thinks California and wine, huh?
Yeah.
And
that's something we're struggling with, because a lot of the great growing regions for apples are also great growing regions for grapes. And I know, you know, Sonoma County is probably the one people talk about the most, but a lot of amazing orchards are getting ripped up to be able to plant more grapes, because you just get so much more money per pound for them. And so, you know, it's great to see so many producers popping up in lieu of that, of what's going on right now.
Got a delivery coming?
You don't want to miss a delivery. You don't want to keep that cider in the car.
Yeah.
Get it out. What do you normally do at this time of day?
So it's mostly setting up, getting deliveries in, getting the kitchen ready for the day, counting the till, lots of, you know, just prepping.
Got to go, go, go. Yeah, because people are coming in at, what, 12?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a long day. Good for you guys.
Yeah, well, we also have a team. We've hired employees that are all so amazing. We have such a great team. 5 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
Wow, yeah, they're great.
That's going to make a lot of people out there in Ciderville pretty happy to hear that you could even be hiring people. That's fantastic.
Really good. We could not do it without them.
Yeah.
No doubt. I'm sure. So we were talking about your roots in cider. So you hooked up with Tilted Shed and started that relationship. And then what was the inspiration here?
Yeah. And then at some point I left that job. I went to go, I went to Vermont to spend some time with Olivia, who was out there for a little bit. And then
I was working on a farm in northern Vermont.
Yeah. And
how north, Olivia?
The Northeast Kingdom, so pretty close to the Canadian border.
Yeah, you're probably seeing a lot of ice cider up there.
Yeah.
Did you get over into Canada much?
We did. We actually did a trip up to Montreal and Quebec. Vermont is such a magical place. But I was, the farm was kind of near Hardwick, if people know where that is, in the Northeast Kingdom. Yeah,
great.
But I do remember going out to the Burlington Farmers Market and seeing the little Eden stand that they had there and seeing ice cider and being like, what the heck is that? Trying to
At that point, you didn't know what ice cider was. Yeah. I know, it was really not so well known, and Eleanor has done a lot for educating Americans.
Absolutely,
I mean, that territory, though, north, you know, it's just that's the roots of ice cider. It's pretty cool. So you went out to Vermont, and what happened for you there?
Yeah, well, we actually just kind of were reconsidering our next steps in life, you know, before we came back to California.
And you got a delivery. So deal with that.
Speaking of the devil, it's got Tilted Shed on it.
Okay, is that your like number one cider that you're selling here?
We do sell a lot of Tilted Shed, but I don't, it's hard for me to say if that's our number one. We have a pretty wide range of stuff that we sell. It's all, but a lot of the local ciders are very popular.
Local, cideries, When you say local, are you talking this side of the bay or further northern California?
I'd say like northern California.
All right. Hey. Got two kegs of Tilted Shed Inclinado and a keg of Mission Trail Shinko Perry.
All right.
100% Shinko Asian pear Perry, which is kind of exciting.
I wonder if they're growing those pears.
Yeah, I know they're growing a lot of their fruit. I'm not sure specifically about the Shinko pears.
Yeah, that would be a lot to be producing there.
Yeah.
Down with Bradley, California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're doing some nice stuff out of Mission Trail.
Yeah, their stuff's been really popular here. Right now we've got the Hotel Kiwifornia, which is like kiwis and Asian pears and raspberries.
It's really delicious.
We just had their Jalisco Jones, which was like a tequila barrel-aged strawberry cider that was really delicious.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah.
Tequila barrel. Right?
Very inventive, delicious stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very inventive.
That's the way it goes for cider, no doubt. So I want to keep on going back to this like Vermont story because I want to hear your trajectory.
And we had some really interesting times in Vermont, including making cider together for the first time at our friend Rosie's house. And they had, Vermont's amazing because there are just all these sort of abandoned wild orchards everywhere. And so we went to her neighbor's property, which was also a farm, and harvested some wild apples and then went through and sort of bit into them and decided if it was tannic, you know, if it was acidic, and made sort of a custom blend. And then made cider for the first time.
Yeah, we had no idea what we were doing.
We had no idea what we were doing.
Delicious.
And it was so fun.
What made you want to make cider? Because you had already met Scott and...
Yeah, we kind of like had a seed of interest planted and then...
And you were homebrewing, I imagine, right? You have a background homebrewing.
Yep. We were just kind of having this really pretty mellow summer in Vermont, and I guess we were pushing into fall and all these apples were ready and the opportunity presented itself and it seemed something we were really excited about.
And when you ask a Vermonter, "Oh, you want to make cider?" They're like, "Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
here, let me pull all the equipment out of the shed."
No, it
was easy to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we moved back to the Bay Area after that and started with the Good Food Awards chairing the cider category, which was a really fun opportunity for us to taste cider from all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And learn about so many different producers and really take that category from start to where it is today,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which has just been such an interesting and educational experience.
Yeah, and I started working when we got back to California for a wholesaler, which was kind of a fun experience. I have two friends that started this really small company called Lime Ventures that's a specialty beer-focused distributor, just a really small team. I think there was only like five or six of us working there at any given time. And we were, our interest in cider kept kind of growing and growing. And so I got really excited about trying to bring in cider producers to California that, previously hadn't been available. So that was kind of the way that I got to know a lot of other cider makers. I started going to CiderCon and we just, kept drinking cider every night and learning more about it.
Continuing to make cider.
Yeah,
but
it's been a slow burn, but
a little bit better than our first batch.
Yeah.
Right. So is there hopes down the line to have a little side addition to?
I mean, at this point, all I can think about is the bar, but but we love making cider for fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're able to source apples around here because there's apples and people mm-hmm. really need to know that about California.
Yeah.
Like you were saying.
We actually got married at an apple orchard in Mendocino.
Sweet.
And they had some really cool apple varieties. So we've been buying apples from them for years and making some cool ciders with mm-hmm. their fruit.
So if I went to your home and I opened up your refrigerator, what would be in there to drink? Alcohol.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We got a lot of interesting stuff in there right now.
Yeah, we're really into beer and wine as much as we are into cider. So you'll see a lot of both of those things in there.
We always have Trumer Pilsner in our fridge.
Yeah, big Trumer Pilsner fan.
So let's stop there for a minute because I think this is important for cider folks to know. And certainly like if you're going to a festival or you're doing a cider tour and you're drinking a lot of it, it's really good to set your palate and reset it a little bit by having a little bit of bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily bitters in cider, but having a beer, if you could do that. And certainly like a good solid wine, that will kind of open up your mouth. I mean, would you agree on that? I mean, that's one of the reasons why I drink anything that kind of is in a glass, but, I have found that for my own palate. What about yourselves?
Yeah, I definitely think that can like reset your palate and kind of allow you to more clearly taste cider when you go back to it.
I mean, I see that folks going to CiderCon, they'll go out and they'll order beer just to kind of like, because you've been drinking so much cider all day long. And it's just like any fine meal. You have like a little endive in the middle of the meal just to like clear the mouth, you know. Vermont, you came back, you're making your own cider. And are you full time in this now? Is this all that you're doing? Or are you working a second gig?
I'm in here full time. Yeah, feels like more than full time, but that's not possible.
And I still have a part time job. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm here half time. Yeah.
You're also here full time.
But I'm also here full time.
And you know, that's a cool thing. You know, people don't know that about Cyberville, but we're able to like split our you know, like holograms and be in two places at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. it's the magic of cider. So let's just talk a little bit. You have taps. How many cider taps do you have?
So I have 16 taps total, and right now 11.
Okay.
11?
Yeah, 11. Yeah.
11. And I'm seeing Shaxbury, so that's Vermont Cidery. Then you have Humble, California. Scar of the Sea, California Hard Cider. Talk to me about that one. That's not something that people would have heard.
Yeah, we do try to kind of represent as broad a range of what the cider world has to offer on our draft list, just because, you know, that is definitely the part of our menu that gets worked the hardest. So we are certainly more heavy on California ciders than anywhere else, but we also really try to represent a broad range. Usually we have at least one or two imported ciders on draft, but those are a little bit harder to track down.
Right now, though, I think that's important to say, you know, as cider becomes more popular, it's going to become more accessible. And you doing this type of business makes it more accessible and gets importers, you know, going. So once again, Ciderville, make sure that you go to cider bars such as Redfield and support them so that they could continue bringing good products into their area.
Yeah, we do have, you know, it seems like the offerings that are available to us every week are just getting more and more exciting, even though we've only been open for 6 months or so. We do try to keep a nice range on there. That Scar of the Sea one you're asking about specifically is from Scar of the Sea, which is down in Paso Robles. They're primarily a winemaker, but they make cider as well, and their ciders are excellent. They're
so
all native yeast fermented in barrels. Dry cider is really complex and delicious, made with mostly like American heirloom fruit, not necessarily cider specific fruit, but really great ciders of a lot of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that region is really starting to pop big time. I mean, there's a lot of wine going down there and a lot of that fusion with cider into wine and, aging it on the grapes. Mm-hmm. So, that Snowdrift, Washington State, you have the Kingston Black, that's Tim Cider, then SoCal, Laura's Orchard. She just won a Good Food Award for that one. That's her heirloom orchard, right?
It is so good. If you haven't had that cider before, delicious.
But we had Laura on the podcast and did a cider dinner during the Monterey Bay Cider Tour that I led. I love Laura and her husband Rich and just what she's doing there. Oh my god,
yeah, their place is fantastic so beautiful,
really. Yeah, that persimmon orchard. I just want, you know, like hang me from a tree, persimmon orchard with it, like, you know, like a monkey, just let it like drop in my mouth. It's just like, that's like heaven. And then she makes that persimmon cider. She made it two different ways, one where she kind of like made persimmons like a wine,
right?
That one just was crazy, like, whew, I love that one. How about you talking a little bit about the rest of these here? What do we have?
Yeah, so we actually have the menu organized. You're going down the list there, and the menu is organized more or less half and half ciders that are straightforward, all apple with no added fruits or spices or anything like that, and then half that is the opposite. You know, has some kind of influence of a additive fruit or barrel, something like that. So yeah, those first five that we mentioned are all just focused on the way the apples are expressed. And the next six are with added other stuff. So the first one is the Sin Eater Sauvignon Blanc cider. That's Sin Eater is a really kind of small operation from up in the northern part of California. They get the fruit from Mendocino County, and she actually makes the cider in Philo, which is the town where we got married, at the Philo Apple Farm. But yeah, she's also a winemaker, Yamakiri Wines, Lisa Bauer is her name, and she has started making some of these wine and cider hybrids. This Sauvignon Blanc cider uses spent Sauvignon Blanc grapes and blends it in with the cider. It's a kind of a funky, powerful native yeast fermented cider that's really cool.
I love it. It's delicious. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And it's nice for us. So one of the things that we do when people come in and they haven't had cider before, it's one of the first questions we ask is, what do you normally like to drink at home? Like, you know, is it a cold pilsner? You know, is it a, you know, big Napa cab? Like, what is it that you like? And then let's go from there. Mm-hmm. And for us to have things like Sin Eater, or even the Scar of the Sea, for people who are more, their palate's more like tuned towards wine, to be able to have some things that drink a little bit more like wine, it's such a great entry point for us. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Sin Eater really, really fits the bill for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we've got Golden State's Elder Tree, which is a fantastic cider that Golden State makes. It's a barrel-aged cider. I think they age it in barrels for 12 months, and it's a state fruit. Arkansas Black, Kingston Black, Black Twig Apples.
And it's part of this California Farm series that they're doing.
Yeah, they've been doing these kind of cool, a lot of draft-only ciders. The Elder Tree is available in cans too, but they've been kind of like experimenting with a bunch of different ciders using California fruit. Like they did one with all of Jake Mann from 5 Mile Orchard's mm-hmm. apples. They did 100% Gravenstein apple from Sebastopol Apples. And yeah, we've been really enjoying those. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Finn River's Black Currant, which is like a major fan favorite here, customers and employees alike.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Super juicy black currant cider from Washington. Hidden Stars, Queen of Tarts, and Cherry Seinfeld. That's a cidery down in San Leandro. They work with, I think, exclusively their own fruit. They have orchards up in the Sierra foothills, and then make these really nice blends. The Queen of Tarts is a Meyer lemon infused cider, and the Cherry Seinfeld is with tart cherries that they also grow themselves.
So. Yeah. Hidden Star is a pretty like famous farm. They're like a farmer's market staple around the Bay Area. And so cider is actually a newer venture for them. So they're working with a lot of apples, but then a lot of their own fruit as well. And that
area has a lot of apple named streets too.
Oh, up in the
right around Hidden Star. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Named by apples. So you're right. You know, I mean, I want to just pause there because that's again the sign that, you know, why it's so important to support cider, and also to know that there's a history. This is not something new on the map. This is something that's really been part, really intrinsic part of California. And so folks like you are really helping farmers and land and treats, which I adore treats, palm trees.
Yeah, I was just noticing we have 8 of our 11 ciders on tap right now are from California, which is probably a higher percentage than usual, but
have,
shows, you know, we got a really big range of flavors going on here. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool to see. And then the last one we have is that Mission Trail Hotel Kiwifornia we were talking about earlier, just a super tart, I don't know exactly what the breakdown percentage of the fruits are, but I think it's majority kiwi, which is totally nuts. Mm-hmm. So it's really tart and bright and pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that you have a lot of local California makers speaks volumes for California, but also it's going to taste different when you're drinking it here than when it's shipped cross country. I mean, anybody who's traveled in the craft libation world knows if you're a beer aficionado and you go to Belgium and you drink it there, you're smelling the terroir, you're getting the sunshine. The sunshine's different here than it is in Vermont. I mean, it feels really, really different. So when you're able to drink it as local as possible, that sets your palate too. So when you go home, you can say, oh, you know, hey, has this bottle been sitting on the shelf too long? You know, what is the transport part? And that's where I'm really hoping that us cider geeks can, you know, help educate people that it makes a big difference. And it's a reason to come to California, not just for the Pacific Ocean and the sunset and all the beautiful people and the cool vibe, but definitely come to California and drink the cider here, you know, like right on that you're supporting that. Yeah. Excellent. And so you have Cider Flights and Cider by the Glass. And I see you have West County Redfield cider. It's Field Maloney right now is at the helm, taking over that cidery for his folks. And you're called Redfield. Mm-hmm. So what's that about? Why the choice of Redfield? Because that's not really a known apple for California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not at all.
And that's part of the reason why we chose it. When we were thinking through names, it's hard to name a business. But we wanted it to be something that, well, logistically was like easy to spell and easy to pronounce and easy to Google, right? Real talk. And then beyond that, something that would be a conversation starter. And the Redfield apple has such an incredible story. It's such a beautiful apple. It makes such incredible cider. We loved that. You know, we're big fans of West County and have been for a long time and all that they've done for the cider industry in the U.S. And did actually reach out to Field prior to opening, asking him if he would give us his blessing for naming the bar that, just because they've been so influential with that apple around the country.
Yeah, to me, it's an apple that represents like a lot of the best parts of the cider industry in a sense that like it probably, you know, wouldn't be widely planted if it wasn't for the cider industry. And it was, you know, kind of brought onto everybody's radar by this producer that was so influential in American cider making. And it's like visually such a striking apple. Every time we show a customer that asks us about the name, a photograph of the apple, the reaction is always like, whoa, like that's crazy. I didn't know apples could look like that. And so it's, I think represents an important part of American cider history, but it also offers like a good jumping off point for people to learn about apples and cider specifically.
Mm-hmm. And the color of the juice is so striking. And it's cool to be able to like pour a glass of Redfield next to like Hidden Stars Cherry Seinfeld and the color is not that different and be able to say like, this is coming entirely from the flesh of the apple. And like all of this red is coming from cherries and to be able to differentiate and then have them taste through different things and understand, mm-hmm. you know, the importance of it.
No doubt. Yeah. And I love how you have brought the borders of the East Coast to the West Coast together by, you know, really paying homage to Terry Maloney.
Yeah.
And Judith Maloney. Really, mm-hmm. they're the ones responsible for Redfield.
Yeah. They are also, I don't know if they're from Berkeley, but they lived in Berkeley for a long time. Actually in our neighborhood. So
yeah.
We have some neighbors that have been around for decades that say, oh, you know, Terry and Judith. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah. So there's like a fun little connection there too.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many of us have that kind of bi-coastal experience. And it was actually Judith Maloney's who had a family home in Berkeley. It was just so recently.
Oh, wow.
She grew up in Berkeley. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. Awesome. Well, you got it going on. Cider Flights, Cider by the Glass, Cider on Tap. You have food, you have beer, you have these beautiful bottle selection. You're open 7 days a week and you're like making it happen in this area. There's like this cider bar, there's Upsider in San Francisco, now Crooked Cider Bar and Tap Room. To get here, if folks are coming into California, if they want to get to Redfield, let's say they're flying into Oakland, what's the time distance between Oakland Airport to Redfield?
Well, it depends on what time of day it is and how you're getting
traffic
here.
Is intense in California.
If the traffic's light, I'd say like 20, 25 minutes.
Perfect.
If you're taking BART, you know, maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, we wanted to pick a location that was really close to BART, the train system here. So we're just like 500 feet from a BART station.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a big part of us deciding to be here. We wanted to give our friends in San Francisco no excuse for not coming out to visit us.
Good. So coming from San Francisco on BART.
Yeah, half an hour, depending on where in the city you're coming from.
Perfect. And what's the stop that they make? What's a BART stop?
Rockridge.
Rockridge.
Yeah.
Really easy. And you just put that on your little map and you get here too sweet. Mm-hmm. Yay. I love that. That's smart. You know, smart. And also you found the perfect location, you know. It's really, really brilliant. Thank you for sharing your time with me today.
Yeah. Well, we were so thrilled to be included. So thank you.
On your first visit to the Redfield Cider Bar and Bottle Shop, here's some tips to know. You're entering into a single room, and it's a long rectangular room. It has really nice windows out to the sidewalk area. There's seating by the windows, and then on both the right side and the left side of the room are the shelves filled with all the bottles of cider to go. They're both national and international brands, and there's a really nice selection to be had. Moving further into the room, there's a bar on one side and some booth seating. Something to know if you're going to CiderCon, this is not a huge venue. Of course, they could take a number of people, but they'll have to top it off at a certain time. So be prepared for that and just chill if it's crowded. And maybe they'll have a possibility that you could maybe grab a cider and go off the shelves. I don't know. I just know that they're going to be working super hard to be able to accommodate everyone. There's a couple of events coming up there too. One is tasting with Tilted Shed, which is a California-based cidery. Zaffa Wines is also on the docket, and Oliver's Cider and Perry too. I imagine all the makers from those different labels will be on site. So that's pretty exciting. Keep on checking back to their website and also to the Bay Area Cider Week, which is also taking place during CiderCon. That's just for January of 2020, but for the rest of the year, when you're cruising in, I'm sure you're going to find that this site is a perfect stop to make in Oakland, along with all the other great ciders to be had in the area. And of course, these two publicans are really inviting and welcoming and knowledgeable. And this is a nice place to find both local California ciders, U.S. ciders, and international ciders, which is so darn important for those of us who are always on the search for a good cider. Thanks again to Olivia and Mike. Cheers to the new year, and their 1 year anniversary is happening this January 2020. So if you're in Oakland on January 11th, make your way to Redfield, a cider bar and bottle shop, and celebrate with all of them. Cheers. Before I roll out of here, I do have an update on the UK cider tour that I have been mentioning a little bit of to folks. And that is that I am honing in on the dates. It will be crossing over that Labor Day weekend in September. And we are looking at attending 1 day of the Ross Cider Fest at Ross on Wye. That makes me so happy. Having been there, it was such an amazing scene. I just want to see everybody. I'm just like hugging you now, putting my arms out in front of me and kind of like doing a group hug with all those people. And to be able to bring a cider tour there, that will just be a lot of fun, no doubt. So I'm looking over that time zone then. And if you want to start kind of just keeping your calendar clear there and start, you know, mulling on the idea of going to the UK with me, landing in Bristol and going to the regions, start setting that aside now. I'll be filling in the details as I roll into all these different plans that are happening. And I expect I'll be making that announcement at the end of this first quarter. So probably sometime in April, to be truthful about the UK Cider Tour. Hang tight. It will be coming your way. In the meanwhile, I'm gonna be rolling out of here until next week when we come in with episode 208. This is a real wind caller saying a ciao for now and looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Oh, yes, we do.
Like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!